We're reacting to Sean McDermott's year-end press conference and diving into a few herd mentality items today on Locked On Bills.
You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Wednesday to you, and thank you for making Locked On Bills your first listen every day. And as a reminder to you, we are free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Today's episode is brought to you by Ultimate Football GM. Have you ever dreamed of becoming an NFL GM and managing your football franchise? Then this game is definitely for you. To download the game, just visit ultimate-gm.com or look it up on the app stores. Our listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo code LOCKEDON in the game. All right, folks. Well, we heard from Sean McDermott for his year-end press conference, and I always enjoy year-end press conferences because I think you get a pretty honest, candid version of McDermott, and we will hear from Brandon Bean at some point this week, and we'll reflect on his comments. But to open today's podcast, I want to focus on what he said about the team and then what he said about a lot of individual players that will give us some clues as to where his mind's at regarding the direction of the team this offseason. So we'll get into that, and then I've got like four herd mentality items that I want to close the podcast with. That kind of tie in with some of the stuff that McDermott said and, expands upon some of the stuff we've already talked about this week on the podcast. So let's get into this McDermott press conference. And he was asked specifically, what do you think the team needs to improve? And of course, Sean McDermott, he did the thing that it feels like he says every year, and that you are who you are in that last game. And I think that's an important thing for me to continue bringing up on this podcast, because both Bean and McDermott say this every single year, and I think you could put a lot of stock into the issues that plagued the team in that final game as clues as to what they're going to try to improve in the coming months here in this offseason. But Sean McDermott said it starts and ends with the line of scrimmage, O-line, D-line. He said it's a league driven by quarterback play and then O-line and D-line play. He said we have to place proper value on the positions that we feel will help us win a Super Bowl, and then find those players at those positions that will help us win. Now, what's interesting is he was asked a follow-up about what positions he values the most. And he said, those are conversations for me and Brandon Bean and Terry Pegula. But just before that, he said it's a league driven by quarterback play, O-line, and D-line play. And the Bills got the quarterback piece of that figured out. But where they don't have it figured out is O-line and D-line. And so as I consider these comments and I start to think about what I expect the team to do in the coming weeks in free agency and the draft, it sounds like the trenches are going to be prioritized. And I know a lot of you are probably thinking to yourself, well, Joe, they've prioritized the defensive line and look at where it is. Okay. It's still not good enough. You can't let that you've made investments in free agent dollars and draft picks. You can't let the fact that it's happened and it's not panned out the way that you want it to as a reason to not continue to do it, because it's still not good enough. And so I look at that defensive line situation, and you've got some expiring contracts in Shaq Lawson and Jordan Phillips. You've got AJ Epenesa entering a contract year. It feels like you could see some new additions on the interior and on the edge. Obviously, getting Von Miller back is going to be big. And I think a defensive line of Rousseau, Miller, Oliver, and Daquan Jones is pretty good. But You missed half of that, right? You were missing half of that in that Bengals game in Miller and Daquan. And it really showed up, and Rousseau and Oliver weren't enough by themselves to get it done. And I think those guys could have played better in that game as well. Offensive line, I think about where can you really get better? Well, Roger Saffold has an expiring contract at left guard. That's a very obvious one. I think Roger Saffold had a poor season. It doesn't really inspire me to want to bring him back and commit him to being the starting left guard. And you look at right tackle, where Spencer Brown entering year three, you want to make sure that he's at least challenged. But I do think you have some upgrade opportunities here for this offensive line. But that's a pretty big, that's a pretty big takeaway of mine from listening to McDermott kind of go through this response of you are who you are in the last game. It starts and ends with the line of scrimmage. It's a league driven by quarterback play, O-line and D-line play. We have to place proper values on the positions that we feel will help us win a Super Bowl and then find those players. Well, sounds like it's going to be the trenches. Sean McDermott was asked about measuring the Bills against the AFC. And he said, the game is evolving. And he said, you are seeing more and more speed on the field. He talked about it being a matchup league with playmakers. And he said, that's one of the ways that it's evolving. But then he also reiterated that the O-line and the D-line component never changes. So there it is again. O-line, D-line is something that we can expect this team to prioritize in the coming weeks. But also I appreciate that he mentioned the speed dynamic and how it's about matchups and how it's about playmakers. Because I think that's something that really hurt the Bills offense is they have Diggs, and I think Knox is a good tight end. And there's decent receivers and running backs that can help you make plays. But when you talk about your feature players, your high volume targets for your offense, it's got to be better players next year. Guys that can really create some plays and some mismatches for the football team. Sean McDermott was asked about the team having 21 unrestricted free agents and if it was a bigger task than usual this offseason to field a roster that you feel good about being able to go compete for a Super Bowl next year. And Sean said, every year is a new challenge. When I got here in 2017, we had a bunch of free agents, very little cap space, and not many draft picks. We found a way through that, and we'll find a way through this. And so, yeah, the Bills enter the offseason with limited cap space, right? They're over the cap. They'll have to make some moves to get under the cap. But all of that can happen. You can restructure Josh Allen's deal and free up over $20 million in cap space. There are a couple of other things just like that the Bills can do to give themselves some spending power. But I really got a feel from Sean McDermott that there's not a complacent viewpoint on the roster. Now, surely he did reiterate that he has a lot of confidence in the players in the roster, but it seemed pretty clear to me that he was looking for improvements from the O-line, from the D-line, and having playmakers that can create challenges from other teams. And I got to say, I see it the exact same way. And I appreciate that he didn't say, well, you know, we have to rely on our young players to take a step. We have limited resources. You know, we might, you know, he didn't say any of that. He said, we have to find a way through this. And I think they will exhaust their options to improve this roster. Wasn't unlike last year, right? The Bills went into that offseason over the salary cap, made some moves. The next thing you know, they're adding Von Miller and Daquan Jones and Tim Settle and Jordan Phillips and all the moves that they made. They signed Roger Saffold, O.J. Howard. They made moves. And I think that'll happen again this year, despite the preliminary look at the cap resources and saying, wow, they really don't have a lot of space. The next thing I want to mention is interesting to me because I think sometimes you can look at a coach like Sean McDermott and have the wrong perspective on the way he sees building a roster. And he was asked specifically about finding the right guys to make plays, but also fit the culture that's been established. And I like that Sean McDermott said, look, the locker room is really solid from a culture standpoint, and said that's led by Josh Allen. And he went on to say culture is important, But beyond that, you have to be able to make plays. They have to find guys. This is what Sean McDermott said. They have to find guys that can make plays that are matchup problems and challenges for people. They have to find guys that can make plays that are matchup problems and challenges for people. And the Bills didn't have enough of that outside of Stephon Diggs. And that became very, very clear as the season moved along. And so this opening segment, I wanted to really focus in on some of the general philosophies about the team and moving forward. And the next segment, I'll talk about the more specific comments that McDermott made about players. But I like the way he's seeing this. O-line, D-line, playmakers. Because that's what costs you against the Bengals. Now, of course, we cannot dismiss the coaching aspect that also cost them heavily against the Bengals, where Lou Anarumo ran circles around Ken Dorsey, and Brian Callahan and Zach Taylor, the offensive coach, and Frank Pollock as well, their O-line coach and run game coordinator, those guys really ran circles around Leslie Frazier. That is not dismissed in all of this, but Sean didn't want to really get into the coaching piece of the equation and, you know, talked about the evaluation that needs to happen in the coming days, all that. Okay, I can respect that. And that doesn't dismiss that there's some questions to be answered there. But from a general philosophy on how the roster can improve, I am seeing this the same way that Sean McDermott is, at least through what he communicated in the press conference. I'm really geeked out by our new partner and sponsor of today's podcast, the mobile game Ultimate Football GM. Have you ever dreamed of becoming an NFL GM and managing your football franchise? Well, your dream can come true, and this game is definitely for you. You manage every strategic aspect of your team. You play through the season and lead your team to glory. You are responsible for hiring the right coordinators and coaches, trading players, making draft picks, navigating your franchise through free agency and the draft, and all the ups and downs of a season. All this in a challenging and realistic game world. Ultimate Football GM is completely free, playable offline, play on the go as you want and when you want to. We actually have a league for all the Lockdown hosts. We're having a lot of fun. I know a lot of listeners have let me know they've enjoyed Ultimate Football GM, so check it out. In fact, Lockdown Bills listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using promo code LOCKEDON in the game store. That's LOCKEDON, so make sure to check it out today. To download the game, just visit ultimate-gm.com or look it up on the app stores. That's ultimate-gm.com. Ultimate Football GM, start your dynasty today. Let's move into the comments that Sean McDermott made about specific players, at least the ones he was asked about. We'll start with a general comment about the defensive line. And Sean McDermott said, it was more inconsistent than I would have liked to see. Talked about how individual players had some strong individual games, but as a total, it was inconsistency, especially after Von Miller was injured. And I would agree with that. And I don't think you can continue to look at players like A.J. Epenesa, like Boogie Basham, to be anything more than inconsistent. I think that's what they've told you they are. When people tell you who they are, believe them. And I think that's what we know about those two players at this point. On the inside, Ed Oliver, splashy, makes some good plays. I like Ed Oliver. I think he's a reasonable starting three technique, but I don't think he's a dominant high-impact football player with the consistency that you hope for. Daquan Jones, I think, was probably the most consistent player on the defensive line from start to finish. On Nyheim Hines, Sean McDermott admitted that they could have done a better job getting him more involved in the passing game. Well, you traded for this player that brought this skill set. I mean, like top five in receiving yards since he's been in the league amongst running backs. I mean, I love what he brought on special teams, but between that and what you did to get James Cook in the second round as guys with big-time pass-catching skill sets, I have questions based on that. That doesn't give me the warm fuzzies about alignment, right, from Brandon Bean to the coaching staff. Hey, like, there should be conversations. Hey, we want a speedy pass-catching back. And they did a lot to try to get that between J.D. McKissic, drafting James Cook, and trading for Nyheim Hines. They definitely had some level of belief that they wanted the skill set. Well, they got the skill set and then underutilized it. Make it make sense. I appreciate him being honest there, and I love what Hines did on special teams. And I think a six-round pick in Zach Moss was worth what Nyheim Hines brought on special teams. But it's disappointing for me to hear him say we could have done a better job getting him more involved in the passing game, especially when your passing game lacked rhythm down the stretch and all that went into getting that type of player. It's not great. On Gabe Davis, he talked about it being a new role for him, going from the number four receiver to the number two. It's a big jump. We talked about this for a long time, not just during the season, but this was one of my questions I had all off season long. He said he had a slow start, but played some of his best ball down the stretch. Did he? Did he play his best ball down the stretch? Maybe he had made some of his better plays, but I think he was inconsistent all year. Yeah, he made good plays throughout the course of the season, but I think less about the touchdown catch against Kansas City and what I thought was a really strong game against the Patriots to close out the year. I think a lot less about that and more about his missed opportunities. And Sean mentioned that collectively the wide receiver core dropped too many passes. Maybe so. I think that's probably true. But I have a bigger issue with the collection of talent and what they were asked to do to build out this receiver core. It's not Gabe Davis's fault that he was asked to be the number two receiver. It's not his fault. He's got a limited skill set. On Stephon Diggs and all the conversation that's come out based on him having a spirited moment on the sideline with Josh Allen, leaving the locker room abruptly, Duke Johnson had to go get him, all that. Sean McDermott said, Stephon Diggs is a highly competitive individual. Part of the reason we love him, he's frustrated like we all are. And then obviously he said they spoke that day. I mean, this story is getting way too much attention. On Spencer Brown, said he had some ups and downs. He has to continue to grow and referenced that there's a lot of film on him now that exists out there and referenced how the league studies offensive tackles and it really puts a lot on you to be aware of your own deficiencies and how pass rushers are going to come at you. He was asked about Spencer Brown potentially playing guard and said it's not off the table, but we like to get a young player and put him in one position and let him grow. Big year for Spencer Brown coming up. And I like his skill set. I like that he's got a couple of years of experience. But it really has to come together in year three. And I don't think he should not walk into next season as the undisputed starting right tackle. He's not Deion Dawkins. He's not Mitch Morse. He's not walk in, you're our starter. In my opinion, I think he should have the opportunity to earn that job and maybe even be the favorite. Well, we got to make sure Spencer Brown is ready to deliver next season as the Bills starting right tackle. He can do it. And, you know, we talk about him in terms of the size, the athleticism, played seven-man football, played tight end seven-man football in high school, really only 2 years of game experience at offensive tackle at Northern Iowa, right? So there's plenty of reason to be hopeful based on his background, right? There's a ceiling for him to continue developing into, and hopefully he can be healthy this offseason, right? I know that maybe hurt him a little bit. Didn't really get a chance to go through the offseason until right up until the last preseason game, basically, right? You're kind of wondering what Spencer Brown's status was. So I think this offseason should really give him the opportunity to prepare and play his best football, and I'm hopeful, but you got to make sure you have a hedge there. And the last one, this is probably the most interesting thing to me. I should have put this a little higher up in the talking points, but he was asked about Christian Benford being a candidate to play safety next year. And he said, that's something we talked about when we first got Christian Benford and referenced it being something he was going to talk about with Benford in their exit meeting. And this was something we talked about the second Christian Benford was drafted. If you've been listening to this podcast, this won't be a new idea for you. Christian Benford, based on his background at Villanova, the size that he has, the physical nature that he plays with, the ball skills, I mean, ton of ball production at Villanova, that could be his best path to being on the field. I would be not surprised at all if your starting safety tandem next year was Micah Hyde and Christian Benford. I kind of expect that to be the case. I think the team likes Benford. I think he's got the type of skill set that they're looking for. I think they like that he played corner this year, right? You look at Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, guys that were corners that converted to safety. I think they love that about him, to have that season of experience learning the outside corner position, and they probably think that's really going to help him at safety. I think there's a real chance that Benford's the Bills' starting safety opposite of Micah Hyde next year, and Jordan Poyer walks in free agency, and I kind of expect that to happen at this point. I kind of expect that to happen at this point, and I wouldn't be surprised if you saw Jordan Poyer in a Miami Dolphins uniform next year. The NFL playoffs are here. We're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Lockdown because they're the number one sports book in America, FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. New customers join today to get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. All on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. All right, in this last segment, I want to address a few more of your herd mentality items. First one comes from Chris. Chris says, RIP playoff Gabe. I see a lot of comments on the Bills drafting a wide receiver. I don't see this as a fix to our wide receiver too. With McDermott's aversion to playing rookies and our draft position, this seems like a tall task. With our cap being pretty strapped, that makes the free agent and trade market difficult to see a fix as well. How do you see the Bills upgrading that position? Well, first, I disagree with you that Sean McDermott has an aversion to playing rookies. I can think of several year one, day one rookie starters for the team. Trey White, Zay Jones, Deion Dawkins, Josh Allen, Tremaine Edmonds, Taron Johnson, Ed Oliver, Cody Ford, Devin Singletary, Dawson Knox, Greg Rousseau, Spencer Brown. Those were all rookie starters. And so Sean McDermott is willing to play rookies. His resume tells us that very clearly. As for the idea that the Bills are picking late in the draft, and so that means they won't be able to find a meaningful wide receiver, I would also disagree there. Rookie wide receivers have been very meaningful across the NFL in recent years. Just this past year, look at the first round picks, and I know that this doesn't help because the Bills are later. Garrett Wilson, Drake London, Chris Olave, those are all very good players in year one. But in the second round, George Pickens, Christian Watson, Alec Pierce, those are all good players this year for their respective teams that were second round picks. Romeo Dubs is a fourth round pick, was very, very good. DK Metcalf, a second round pick, was impactful as a rookie. Terry McLaurin, third round pick, impactful as a rookie. AJ Brown, impactful as a rookie. Second round pick for him as well. I mean, I could really go on and on about this, and that you can find impact rookie wide receivers after the Bills are picking 27th. You will have candidates there and on day two to really boost your wide receiver core. So I do think the draft is a very viable way for the Bills to find this answer. T. Higgins was a second round pick by the Bengals. You can certainly find these answers. The next one comes from Andrew. Andrew says, it definitely seems as though the Bills defense has been falling apart in the playoffs the past few seasons. With that being the case, should the Bills go after someone like Wade Phillips to come in as their defensive coordinator, especially with his pedigree and relationship with Von Miller? Well, you've heard my position on the defensive coordinator. I think Leslie Frazier has run his course in Buffalo. But I doubt somebody like a Wade Phillips is brought in or a Vic Fangio is brought in. For as much as I would be interested in that, predictively, I just don't think that's going to happen. Sean McDermott is defensive-minded. I would expect him to either promote from within, being Bobby Babich or John Butler, or himself to take a more active role in the defense, coordinating it and maybe even calling it if necessary. So I'm hopeful for some changes there when it comes to defensive coordinator, but I wouldn't live in a world where I would expect them to hire a big name coordinator, right? I just don't think that happens when you have a defensive minded coach like Sean McDermott, although it would be kind of cool. I'd like to see him willing to do that and bring in some influence to the equation and him for him to just be the true CEO of the team. And I think in a lot of ways he is. I believe that. I think it's Leslie Frazier's defense. Sean McDermott has said that multiple times. This is Leslie Frazier's defense. And I think he does do that. But you know, that'd be a real ask for him to be willing to bring in somebody that takes control of it and he really takes a back seat. I don't know if that'll happen under a defensive-minded coach. But, hey, on one hand, Leslie Frazier kind of is that, right? Leslie Frazier's a big-name defensive coordinator that came in with Sean McDermott, and he said, run the defense. So maybe I just talked myself into a circle there. We'll see. Maybe I shouldn't be so dismissive of it. The next one comes from John. John says, for years, the Bills have been building to beat Mahomes and the Chiefs, and now it looks like they have a team that can do that. But do they now need to build a team to beat Burrow and the Bengals? Yeah, absolutely. I think the Bengals have already passed the Chiefs. The Bengals won the AFC last year. They beat the Chiefs twice last year. They beat them once this year. Burrow and the Bengals are 4-0 against Mahomes and Allen over the last 2 years. The Bengals are the class of the AFC. I think they're going to beat the Chiefs this week. I think it might be a convincing win. I think the Bengals have an astronomically better defense than the Chiefs. I think they have better skill players than the Chiefs. Obviously, I think the Chiefs might have a better offensive line and a more established quarterback, but it ain't that far off. I think the Bengals are a better team than the Chiefs. I think that's the standard in the AFC right now is the Bengals. I think the Bills have passed the Chiefs. I believe that. The Bills beat them this year. 13 seconds, say whatever you want about that, and beat them by 18 in the regular season last year. I think the Bills have passed the Chiefs. There's a new team in town, and it's the Bengals. And they're really not new. They won the AFC last year. And they look a whole lot stronger this year. They look a lot less vulnerable this year. As things have stabilized, their coaching staff has had another year together. Their offensive line has been improved. Now, we'll see how it goes. They've got some stuff to deal with this offseason. Joe Burrow is going to get his contract extension. They got some big expiring contracts to be mindful of in Jermaine Pratt, Von Bell, Jesse Bates, Eli Apple. Those are all free agents. Hayden Hurst is a free agent. Yeah, they're going to have to look at that stuff and figure it out. And Cincinnati hasn't always been very good at being willing to spend. They're typically one of the cheaper organizations out there. So I'm really anxious to see how they evolve here. T. Higgins is going to be a guy that's going to be up for a contract. So they got some stuff to figure out for sure. But man, the makeup of the team they have right now is the standard in the AFC, in my opinion. The last one is from Drew. Drew has two questions for us. He said, first, in the past few years, the Chiefs and Bengals suffered playoff losses that had a lot to do with their offensive line, and they both responded by overhauling their offensive line in the offseason. Is it time for the Bills to do the same? If so, what might a rebuilt line look like? Yeah, I think the Bills do need to ask themselves some questions about their offensive line. And the Bengals, I mean, that was just an atrocious situation last year, and they went out and signed Alex Kappa and Ted Karras and Lyle Collins to improve that. And they also had some draft picks there, some higher draft picks, and Jackson Carmen, Deontay Smith. They kept on investing. Cordell Volson winds up being a good, you know, fourth-round pick starter for them at left guard, who I think will be an answer for a long time. So, yeah, it's a mix of veterans and young players. You look at what the Chiefs did, traded for Orlando Brown, signed Joe Tooney to a big deal to be their left guard, drafted Creed Humphrey in the second round and really kind of lucked into Trey Smith later in the draft, taking a chance on a really talented guy, but had some red flags. So, yeah, I think the Bills need to follow the blueprint, look at what those teams did, and invest both in the form of veterans and young players. The second question from Drew is, it seemed like the Bills found the playing surface more slippery than the Bengals did. Are there any techniques or special cleats that work in those conditions? Did the Bengals do anything different from the Bills in response to those conditions? I've gotten this question a lot about the footing and how it affected the Bills more than the Bengals. Yeah, I know that there are different types of cleats and shoes that you consider, but I mean, I'm no expert at this at all. You would expect the Bills equipment staff to have the right options available for the team in that type of situation. But I generally agree that it affected the Bills more than the Bengals. But, you know, I would trust that the Bills equipment staff has the right answers to help with those problems. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us here today on the podcast. I hope you enjoyed. I hope we get to hear from Brandon Bean soon, because I'd like to dissect his comments as well. So that might be our podcast tomorrow if Bean does speak. I got some fun stuff planned for later in the week with a guest. So make sure that you are subscribed. We'd love it if you took a second to rate, review, share the podcast. Go Bills, and I look forward to catching up with you again tomorrow.